WGNS, Murfreesboro. W270 AF, Murfreesboro. W263 AI, Murfreesboro, Smyrna. The Good Neighbor Network. FM 101.9 and AM 1450, Murfreesboro. FM 100.5, Smyrna. And online at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
On today's program, our guest is Peter Demas at Demas Restaurant. Peter, you're traveling a lot, you're seeing a lot, and you're helping a lot of people.
Well, I appreciate it. No, we're traveling some. We did a family vacations. My son's getting married soon, and so it's kind of last time the four of us can do a family vacation, you know, with just the four of us. So we were able to go to Colorado and Kansas and Missouri. We hit those areas. And then Kristen and I went to Pennsylvania. I preached at a church there, and the two of us did a sermon series on bringing your faith into work. And that was really enjoyable that we got to do that together.
So you're talking at churches, you're speaking at businesses, you're helping leaders get more comfortable with spiritually making things better.
Oh, yes. This one was called God at Work, and it was basically helping businesses understand how you can do it, but also really encouraging them and giving them the ability to do so. And then Kristen has started a new business herself where she helps businesses find their purpose, mission, and value statements, and she does it in a simplistic way. So she went in and talked about the purpose behind having a purpose, and so we were able to kind of work together on that. And like I said, it was neat working with her and speaking with her. Usually it's she speaks or I speak. This is the first time we've ever done anything together.
Together. I love that word. Working together. Families working together. Churches working together. Businesses working together. And hopefully our country working together.
I heard it said by somebody, I can't remember who said it now, but he says we've actually really have gone to a one-party system, and the one party is the people on the extremes. And the people in the middle have been just kind of left out and ignored throughout this whole season. And then obviously every time you have an election season, you know, every 2 years and particularly every four, it gets really aggravated, really more, the noise gets bigger and bigger. So, you know, in reality is that we can look at both parties, we can look at everything that's out there, but if we just follow our principles that we have, then the other stuff, it does just become noise. And then we just have to continue to work and push forth our ability to say, this is what's right and this is what's wrong.
It almost sounds like you're saying business should get people together, not government, but business.
Billy Graham said that the marketplace was going to be the next revival. And there were many, many places from it. Oddly enough, I just did some research on this. Well, D.L. Moody had gotten saved by a coworker, and then through about like five generations down of someone, he preached to somebody who preached to somebody who got to Billy Sunday, who then who couldn't make it to a meeting. He brought somebody else in. There was protest, and there was a young man who said, I want to see what this protest is about. And he went and he got saved, and that was Billy Graham. So, you know, we see just from one coworker, the impact it had on having your three like amazing evangelists that got hit because of one coworker that shared his faith. And I think that's part of what we do. We're not going to have unity without Christ. It's not going to happen. And so until we can feel comfortable and confident in being able to talk about it, and we could become bold, not belligerent, but if we could become bold with it, then at that point in time is when we're going to start seeing unity again.
Peter, let me be sure I understand what you're saying. All levels can effectively spread the word.
And I see it kind of like a dartboard. You know, we're right in the center of the dartboard, and we have a very small circle around us. And that might be just our family. And then there's another small circle, and that might be the people we work with. You know, and then as the circle continues to expand, not only is there obviously more people, they're not as close to us in that area. But I don't think God allows us to move to those next circles until he feels confident we can do it with the first circle. Now, there's some exceptions to that, and I've seen that. I obviously don't want to put God in a box. But those are exceptions. Our job is still to be obedient, and our job is to to share the gospel, make disciples. And again, frankly, if we can't do it in our home, we really shouldn't be doing it at work. And if we can't do it at work, we shouldn't be doing it anywhere else. And so it's very difficult when he says, go out into all the nations, and we can't get past our front door.
So we're back to the old saying, whatever the mind can conceive and believe, it will achieve. So you'd better believe what you are saying and practice at home before you hit the streets with your message. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. I mean, if you can't talk about Jesus at your kitchen table with your kids, if you can't talk about it with your husband or your wife, then you aren't going to be comfortable talking about it with total strangers. You know, and I think that's where part of it is. We have to get used to hearing the sound of our voice doing it. And once we start hearing the sound of our voice doing it, we will start feeling more comfortable listening to our voice. It's the same thing. You hear your voice on a recording and you're like, oh my goodness, I don't really sound like that. But the more you hear it, the more comfortable you get with it. You still don't think you sound like that, but it becomes more normal the more you hear it. The same thing's true. The more you speak out, the more you're going to be comfortable hearing your voice saying what you're saying. You're going to be comfortable watching the reactions of people because you start having that experience, and that experience leads to more confidence, and then the confidence leads to a greater area and greater impact that you can have. But everybody can have it. We have dishwashers that have had huge impact on our restaurant by doing that. I mean, so it really does not matter where you are, who you are. What does matter is that you just have to open your mouth.
But you'd better be comfortable before you say it. And the best place to be comfortable is at home with your family. If you're not comfortable there, don't try it on the streets yet. Get comfortable at home.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that we did at our home, that it was also an easy way of getting our kids to tell us about their day, because, you know, they would come home and you're like, how was your day? Fine. What happened? Nothing. You know, so we couldn't get any information out of them. We had no idea what was going on. But at the kitchen table, we'd be like, hey, we're about to bless the food. You know, tell us what you would like to pray for. And then they would tell us stuff that they would not tell us normally, because they're asking us to invite God into this situation. Well, so not only were we able to pray for that situation, then we were able to talk to them about the situation. We were able to give them, you know, godly advice about the situation, and we were able to explain it that way. But it really started with just having those questions. But again, if I don't feel comfortable talking to my children about it, then I'm definitely not going to feel comfortable talking to somebody else. One of the fears that we have is the fear that we don't have the answers. Well, we'll never have all the answers. I don't understand. I'm talking to you right now into a microphone. I don't understand how it all gets transmitted to everybody else. I just know it does. My understanding of it is irrelevant to the outcome. So the same thing is true with this. We have to get used to that. But when our children ask us questions and we say, I don't know, then it helps us, one, get those answers, but also helps us feel comfortable saying, I don't know. And that's a perfectly legitimate answer.
So once again, you're saying, get comfortable talking about this at home with your family. But where does the church come in?
You know, I think the churches are the place that we go and get recharged. The churches is not necessarily the place where it's where we go to kind of see there's other people like us. There are other broken people like us that's in the church. There's we learn at church. There's a whole lot of value in going to church. You know, just being around other people that are believers, even though they might not believe exactly what I believe in. You know, we might disagree on a certain verse. But just knowing that there's a comfort level being able to share common values, I think is extremely important. So I think that is, it doesn't really kind of go from family to church to business. I think, though, church is just an integral part to help you be able to talk to your family, to help you be able to talk to business. But again, yeah, I think it starts with the people that are closest to you. And if you don't happen to have a family, you're single living alone, you know, and you don't have really anybody there, you still have somebody that you're having a relationship with. And again, likely you're having it at work. But pick up, when people call you, the robocalls call, talk to them. I mean, they're, you know, most of them hang up on me when I start talking to them about Jesus, but it doesn't offend me. You know, they shouldn't be calling me anyway. So it works out good. You know, and I have no idea the impact that I'm having on them, if any. I may have none, may have had a huge one that I've never been able to see. But what it does is it allows me again to be comfortable with what I'm going to say, so that when I'm approached in an uncomfortable situation, I can feel a lot more comfortable because I've dealt with some stranger that's calling me on the phone trying to tell me how I can increase my Google SEO ratings.
Okay, let's let Google lie, but let's continue looking at your two books. If we're wanting to get comfortable with our message to the family, which book should we take to heart first? Afraid to Trust or On the Duty of Christian Civil Disobedience? Which one?
The two books are kind of radically different in how they are. The first one is really more my story, and it's more of a narrative format called Afraid to Trust. And in that book, we're talking about, not only talking about like how I came to Christ, but then what we were able to do and little things that we were able to do. But also there's a practical tool for when you're under attack, and how to turn to Christ when you're under anxiety, under pressure. So if you're dealing kind of with those type of fears and battles, then that's where that is. The second book is called On the Duty of Christian Civil Disobedience, and it is kind of more of a teaching tool, and there's a lot of footnotes. There's like 100-something, 140-something footnotes or something like that. It's a very researched book on our duty as Christians to be able to know when to say no. Because it's not like we could say no to anything just because we don't like it. But we do have an obligation to say no if we're asked to commit evil, for example. And so, but also prepare us for the consequences, because we can see this world and see the direction this world is heading. And I haven't completely given up. I know God can change it. But at the same time, I think we have to be prepared for it. And I don't think there is a better way to share the gospel than under persecution and under attack.
So as a recap, get comfortable in your conversation with the family. Get comfortable before you take that conversation to others.
Yes, that's correct. I mean, I think God will lead you to the places you need to be, and He will give you the strength when you need to have that strength. But again, I think you have to start in those small areas to build up that confidence. I find that when people say they're not bold, it's usually I call it the six C's. It's a lack of confidence. They might be cynical, saying it won't do any good. They might have lack of compassion, a lack of comfort, like a lack of relationships. They may not be aware of it, a lack of conscience, or they may just have a lack of commitment. They just don't. They just don't seem to care about it. But it's really not a boldness. My daughter attends Auburn University, and we went to the Iron Bowl, and there was not one timid person in that entire place during the Iron Bowl. I mean, so we can be bold in circumstances, but it depends on how passionate we are about those circumstances. And so if we think we can't be bold about Christ, I think we need to check ourselves and find out what is the reason why we can't be bold in that arena.
Peter, it's back to the comfort level. You gotta be comfortable before you're bold.
That's true. I mean, there is a little bit, and you'll always be uncomfortable. It's the same thing when you work out. If you work out, your muscles are going to be uncomfortable, but that's the only way your muscles can grow. If you want to grow yourself mentally through education, you start reading books, there's going to be times where you're going to read a book that you don't get. You got to really struggle in order to do it. It's an uncomfortableness to get to that next level of education or mental capacity. The same thing is true spiritually. So in order to grow spiritually, you have to have those level of uncomfortable. So even when I move from that small circle to the next circle, there's going to be a level of uncomfortableness as I move to that next circle. There's going to be a lot of people that are listening to this who's going to be uncomfortable talking to their families. So that as you go, you're always going to have that level of uncomfortable. But just like with your brain, just like with your body, same thing true spiritually. If you don't exercise it, if you don't go through that levels of uncomfortable, you will also have a spiritual atrophy, like your muscles will. You'll get weaker. And so if you used to be bold, but now you're not, it's going to be a lot harder for you to step out and speak out, because you start kind of giving in to that. And that's kind of dangerous too.
And when you get that comfort level and the bold level together, your life runs more smoothly.
The verse in Colossians 3:17, which tells us in all things we're doing for the glory of God, and it's emphasized in 3:23. It's also talked about Romans 12, when he says it being a living sacrifice. We have to do those things in all things we do. All means all. And so in order for our lives to run smoothly, we have to do more and more each and every time. And again, it's not like we're trying to be perfect. We're not working our way into heaven, but we are trying to do the best we can to transform ourselves into the likeness of Jesus. And is the more we start working on that, the more comfortable we're going to be when we're under pressure, the more comfortable we're going to be when we start having these problems. Because we can learn to lean on him and rely on him and trust in him as opposed to trusting in the world that's around us.
And Peter, people who see you talking with your family, with your customers, with your staff, with anyone, you are bold. You're comfortable.
You know, the boldness, the great thing about it is the boldness encourages others. So where I've seen people before that when they started working for us, you know, they were, you know, one guy who's worked for us for many years, but when he started working for us, he had a choice between going into gang life and coming to work one night. And he chose to come to work. His cousin chose the other direction. His cousin's now in jail. And he's been working with us a long time, but he had no basis of understanding about anything with Christianity. I mean, he kind of knew it was out there, but he didn't really have any relationship there, et cetera. And, you know, and two or three times since then, or not since then, two or three times in the last few months, I've witnessed him where he didn't know I was around praying over an employee. One time he was even praying over a delivery driver that was coming in. And again, just seeing that, you know, and seeing that he can do that comfortably around other people, around other employees, knowing that he's praying in front of people that don't believe as well. You know, so he got his, so when we're bold too, we encourage others to be bold as well. So it helps. It does spread, and I think that's also another key component to all this. So yes, I become more comfortable there. I'm more, definitely more comfortable around my family with it, and now I'm more comfortable when I speak out about it or speak against people about it. I have a podcast that's on Rumble, and there are a lot of people that come on there who may be politically aligned with me, but not spiritually aligned with me, and sometimes we'll have to, you know, call each other out on that, and. You know, there's people that I know that just misuse the Bible, and I've had to interview them. And during that process of interviewing them, you know, but I had to be confident and willing to be able to do so and confront them and say, you that's just not right. And I think we learn and grow in those areas. And I think that's very important for us, but I could not have done that 10 years ago.
I think we have the basics. Get comfortable with your family. And then what?
I think the first thing we all have to do is I think we got to repent. I think our repentance is the key to it. We have to repent. We got to repent in our part of culture. We are all have allowed something, laughed at something, encouraged something that was not godly. And that includes in our families. I watch, unfortunately, I watch many people who have children that they're encouraging them to get drunk, who encourage them to smoke pot, encourage them to have sex. You know, they're like, well, they're going to do it anyway. Well, that's not necessarily true. The just because you chose to do it does not necessarily mean they were going to. And, you know, I don't know all what my kids have done, not done, except I have no idea. I don't want to know really what they've done, but I know I gave them the tools and they know right and wrong. And if they chose to choose wrong, that's their decision now. They're now adults. If they choose to choose right, that was also, they get the benefit of that as well. Regardless of whatever choices they decide to make are their choices, but it wasn't going to come from me. So if we say, look, now we're going to correct this and we're going to course correct, well, the first thing we got to do is repent in our part of it. We got to repent in those times. And then once we do that, then I think we can start, and we need to start being honest, not only with God, but also with our children and say, hey, look, I told you this and I was wrong. We watched this movie together and I was wrong. You know, I shouldn't have watched this movie with you. You know, and I think there are times where we because we think we're the parent and we can't be wrong, you know, we're the parent that we're hesitant in doing so. But I think the impact it has on our children, again, it depends on their age. If they're four, don't do that, you know, but if they're teenagers and you're already kind of at that point and you're kind of too scared to talk to them, I think it's important. But I also think it's important that you need to recognize that they're probably not going to buy into it right away because they're already bought into the world. And now you have to show them a better way of doing things. But I think it starts with us having to repent and being honest with God and saying we messed up and we need to turn back.
I guess really along those lines, is it ever too late? I mean, as a parent, you're looking at this, you're thinking, man, I wish I had done that when my kids were kids. And now they're 18, 19, 20, in school, about to graduate. They're on with their lives. Is it ever too late?
No, it's never too late. I don't care if your kids are 40 years old. I don't think it's too late to start because you got to start somewhere. So no, I don't think it's too late at all. Unfortunately, what I've seen is where parents who have decided to start kind of later with their children. And fortunately with mine, when I got saved, my children were around 8-10 years old when that happened. And so for me, it was, they got to see the before and after of me. And that was kind of, that was beneficial for me. But if I look at like some people, like their kids won't let them see, they won't let them see their grandkids. Because they said, well, we don't want you to have anything to do with them because of your Christian faith, and that's terrible and that's sad. But then that leads to the second thing we can do, which is pray. I think too often we have a cynical view of prayer and we say, okay, look, we're not going to pray, because it's not going to do any good anyway, because I've been praying for this and it hasn't happened. People prayed for me for probably 20 years and before, for me to be saved, and eventually it took place. Just because we don't see the answer doesn't mean it's not effective. But I think we have to do that. So even in that situation, I think we have an obligation to pray.
Now, before we leave you today, I want to tell you where you can get these books that Peter has written. Where can you get them?
So you can get them off Amazon. You can also get them off my website, which is peterdemus.org. And you can also get them inside the restaurants. We sell them there. So those are really the main places. There's other places that probably sell them at different spots. But those are the top three places that we sell them from.
So head over to Demas Restaurant for lunch or dinner. Enjoy yourself and then take home a life-changing book at the same time.
That would be awesome if you could do it that way. You can come in and just pick up a book, or you can come in and just get dinner. We're happy to serve you any way we can.
Peter, thank you so much for sharing. I can see lights going on all over the community as you're sharing your thoughts today, because this really gets down home and it's easy to understand.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate it. And, I think, one of the reasons that I resisted Christianity is because I complicated it. And in reality, it's a pretty simple. It's very, very simple. And I think when we make it complicated, we sometimes ignore the simplicity of it. And it really, really is perfectly logical and perfectly simple. We just got to step out in faith and do it.
Peter Demas, giving some thoughts to think about and some areas to make some improvements in your family. Peter, thanks again.
Thank you again. I appreciate it.